Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is November 21st. 2022. Myself and Denise Salcedo are here to review WWE Raw, the go-home show before Survivor Series. The woman to my right or left, depending on which way you're looking at this screen, is going to be hosting this weekend Survivor Series post-show along with Will Washington. I'll be contributing like some backstage notes. I might drop into the StreamYard and drop some notes for them, but I will be at WrestleCade at Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Come talk to me. Come say hi. We're going to have a table there. We're going to be doing interviews there. We're not like doing signings and all that goofy shit there. But come say hi to us. Come meet us. We're going to be doing dozens of interviews at WrestleCade in Winston-Salem. And I hope to see you guys. Very excited. But it's a big week, Denise. We went from full gear straight through to Thanksgiving and War Games. And I used to make a joke, Denise. It wasn't a joke. It was a real thing. Every year within like a week of Thanksgiving, some big ass interview would drop. Like in 2014, it was CM Punk. In 2015 and 16, it was John Jones after he came back from whatever controversy he had. There was Saraya's first interview after, you know, a lot of the stuff she went through in 2016, 2017. We had The Undertaker, one of his first out of character interviews with Stone Cold Steve Austin. If you had to guess, Denise, what big interview would drop within a week of this Thanksgiving? It could be Punk again.
Wait, we're getting another interview?
No, no. I'm just saying, if tradition held up.
Oh, I would say Vince McMahon.
Really? I don't think he's
Think we will, but I would consider that big. Remember, that was one of my predictions for this year, that we would get an Oprah interview with Vince McMahon?
At the end of the year, we need to go back
text you and tell you that, by the way.
We need to do a reactions to our crystal ball video to the Magic 8 Ball.
No, not reactions. I was going to tell you we have to do another bingo card video for this coming year.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's easy content for you, is us just reacting to our original bingo card prediction.
But I don't want to react to the
Why? Because I'm right about everything, Denise?
No, you got like one. I don't even think. What did you even get right on that?
Everything right.
No, you did not.
Yeah, I did.
There was
Listen, I said on January 1st that Ace Steel would bite somebody.
Oh, yeah. You said that. Yeah, I remember you said that apparently. Yeah,
I did. I said that. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. YouTube's new algorithm has not been kind to us.
They've been kind to me, Sean.
I know they have. I know they have.
1,200 subscribers away from 80k.
Oh, you're gonna pass us soon. You're gonna pass us very soon.
So how should I mock you when I do that? Or do you just want me to not mock you so I will make you feel bad?
I don't give a shit. I got like three times as many followers as you.
Yeah, on Twitter, and I'm gonna pass you one day too. Or hopefully that app. You know what's gonna be be funny? What if, like, the day I pass you, Sean, Twitter shuts down? It's like I pass you by one person.
You think you're gonna pass me? I wish you would pass me. I wish we could trade our numbers right now. But
no, I don't want no pity followers.
That's all you got. Leave a thumbs up. Subscribe. We've got
a ton. Hold the phone. I'm about to surpass you on YouTube subscribers. I have way more Instagram followers than you. I have more TikTok followers than you. Still bragging about Twitter. I'm here
muted. I have never once promoted my Instagram, like, period, ever. You were on TikTok back when it was Tout or Musical.ly or, like, MySpace or something.
Don't be making excuses, Sean. Did I make excuses about my Twitter account? No. I owned it, okay? And I said, one day I will surpass you. Nobody likes people that make excuses, Sean.
Listen, I don't care
how
many...
I'm beating you.
How many bots you have on TikTok? I do not care. How many, like, weird, yeah. How many you have on Hive, Denise?
I don't give a fudge about Hive.
Exactly. Follow Sean Rossap on Hive right now.
They have like 1 million followers. They have like 1 million app people on Hive.
So?
Fine then. Follow me on the new MySpace.
I would love if MySpace came back. But either way.
A new version of MySpace.
Who gives a shit?
I have an account.
Leave it thumbs Leave
I
a
have
thumbs
a Tumblr
up.
Too.
Subscribe. We have interviews with Eric Bischoff that dropped last week and Jake something. We've got Hakeem Zayn, aka Rohit Raju, dropping tomorrow. We got, I think, Santino Marella later this week as well, dropping right after Thanksgiving. But FightfulSelect.com is where you can go to get all of your exclusive wrestling news. I'll brag about that in a little bit. $5 a month. That's all it takes. But if you want to get your question or statement read here on the air, donate a super chat, donate a humper chat. Our wonderful moderator, Luis, is collecting them. And Mick Astro Mick gets us started, says, loving the new intro music. Sounds like Vidmark video intro. Very time cop. Keep up the amazing work you do. We got a whole bunch of them. I like the synth music, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to make like 5 intros. So there we go. Blah, blah, blah says, not Raw related. Being that Twitter is important in wrestling media, what made you think that? Like, what about our conversations have ever made you think that? It says, but you both have big followings. Are you worried about recent Twitter changes? What do you think will happen to wrestling media if Twitter slowly dies? We'll find another medium. I would be fine if I didn't have Twitter. I would love to
be quiet, Sean. Oh, no, you wouldn't. You are the most Twitter addicted person that I know.
I would love to not have Twitter.
Everyone here knows it.
Okay, I'm going to mute you in a moment. I would love to not have Twitter. That would be very great. I loved Twitter a lot more about 3 or 4 years ago, but I would love to not have it now. Would you roll your eyes one more time, please? Just do it one more time. There you go. So anyway, I would like that, but social media is necessary for what we do, like between TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. And Kyler does most of that stuff for us now, almost all of it now. So that'd be beneficial. But I mean, there's a huge untapped, like, Facebook audience that we don't have. So I'd probably try to attack that a little bit more, but I'm not really worried about the Twitter changes, honestly. With the investment that was made into Twitter, they're not going to take an L by just letting it die. Twitter usage was at an all-time high this week. There are some promising things regarding content monetization that has been pitched, from what I understand. So hopefully that ends up happening. That way people can make money off of their own material on Twitter, whereas they've not really been able to as much in the past. But
they're also very severely behind because TikTok and Instagram are paying really good money right now for content.
There you go.
Instagram actually paying the best out of all the apps.
There you go.
Even YouTube.
Follow us on Instagram at Fightful Online. Kyler's been posting a lot of reels over there. But yeah, I think wrestling media will be fine. Twitter is the best because it's so interactable there. And you can't really flood somebody's feed on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on a lot of those things.
You can't on Instagram either now either because of the algorithm.
Okay. Well, there you go. SAS says, do you think we'll start to see the downfall at Survivor Series with something big happening with the Bloodline? I think it's possible that we start to see some cracks in the infrastructure of the Bloodline. And we're about to talk about that. We kicked off with the Brawling Brutes, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, all coming out to the ring, existing. Man, Drew McIntyre was in like 7 segments for Raw tonight. It was like old times. What did you think of them coming out and talking their shit, Denise?
Dude, I've been such a big fan of the Brawling Brutes ever since they got together on the main roster. I feel like they really have added so much substance to SmackDown, and I'm happy that they're in this War Games match because it's just going to be everyone in there. There's not one person in that match that I'm not happy about being in this match. I'm happy about all these guys in there because I know it's going to be a hard-hitting match for sure. So to be honest, like, I couldn't be more stoked about the Brawling Brutes being part of this. And just basically like the opening of Raw, there was so much that I really enjoyed. I actually thought that the first portion of Raw, like the first hour of Raw today, was the strongest. Second hour was okay. Third hour, I thought really, really took a little bit out of me. I thought I kind of felt the last hour.
You could have missed this entire show. You could have just missed the entire show. But you're here.
So you wouldn't. So would you say this was? Then I'm guessing you would say this was probably not a good final Raw go home show leading into Survivor Series. Because while there were some highlights of things that I would consider good, there was a lot of stuff that I would say was pretty passable.
There's stuff that I liked and stuff that I enjoyed. But if you missed this show, you didn't really miss anything. Like, this is the lowest viewership we've had for a post-Raw in, like, a long, long time right now.
Oh, my God. Start showing feet, Sean. We're falling apart. You can't kill this podcast.
Well, the OC comes out. You know, we got much of the same from the OC. We've got, you know, Dom saying, hey, when you go back to SmackDown, tell my deadbeat dad. And, like, we get it. Ray went to SmackDown. How many more times are you going to friggin' say it, Dom? We know where he is. We know he's your father. We know he left.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Kevin Owens, or should I just wait for you?
No,
or should I start talking about it now? Okay. Well, personally, because I didn't get to watch SmackDown this Friday. I think I watched like maybe 10 minutes of SmackDown, so I didn't get to watch the entire thing. So I missed Kevin Owens' return on SmackDown. So thankfully, I watched the replay today on Raw. For once, I didn't hate the million replays that they show on Raw. And I really love the way that they did all that. And then this, you know, on today with Kevin Owens basically going out there and saying that, you know, he got the best of Roman Reigns, or took him to his limit, rather, you know, not once, not twice, but 3 times. You know, I remember all the times that you and I were talking about Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, and all of that stuff was really good. So I'm so happy that, you know, it's so weird that he's like, you know, 2 years have gone by since the last time you and I met in the ring. And I'm like, God damn, 2 years went by? What the hell are we doing? It's so crazy when you think about how much time actually went by. And I'm so excited with him just basically how, you know, obviously we were all expecting this considering Sami Zayn and whether or not this is going to end up reuniting Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Once again, we'll see if that even happens. But right now, just like just the incorporation of Kevin Owens into all of this, whether this leads to another one-on-one with him and Roman Reigns, which I'm assuming it is since he mentioned he's coming for that title. Man, I'm really stoked for all of this. So this to me was definitely up there in terms of Kevin Owens, you know, returning.
Get the Brawling Brutes defeating Judgment Day with OC up on the ramp. This was one of those matches where I'm like, okay, I see why they're doing it. They're promoting this Saturday's pay-per-view. It's weird for me to say Saturday instead of Sunday, by the way.
And it's premium live event, Sean.
There you go. Premium live event. They are promoting that. Judgment Day taking an L, though, right before they're about to face the OC. And then I think they'll probably end up beating the OC on Saturday to 50-50 it. The match is great. Jesus Christ. Like, these guys, the Brawling Brutes, got over, but they didn't do anything different, Denise, from when they were heels. It's just like, oh, well, they beat the living shit out of people and people really enjoy it. That's it. Like every other time that they've tried to turn Sheamus babyface, they've tried to make him like a stand-up comedian. They tried to make him do jokes and all that stuff. And it's like, no, he's a funny, charming guy. Like when we interview him, right? But that doesn't translate to sitting out there on the ramp with a microphone, busting jokes about somebody. But I believe every single thing he does in that ring. And when he was beating the hell out of Dominic, it was so satisfying. Like from a personal, professional thing. Like, I think Dominic is a very nice guy. Like IRL, he is. He's incredibly nice. But his character, which probably means he's doing good character work, every time he just walloped him and walloped him. And either Dominic is better at selling than I'm giving him credit for, or Sheamus was really laying it in.
Bro, come on. It looked like Sheamus was killing Dominic, all right? There was one kick, because usually when that happens, you see, for the most part, whoever's taking the chops is, if you go back and you look at the past other guys taking it, they stay in the same spot for the most part, like the entire time as they're taking, you know, this beating. I think like within, I don't know, like the third or fifth or whatever, how many chops it was at that point, it was Dominic was already falling down. Like he couldn't hold on and he couldn't stay in that spot anymore. And so you could see his like body, like trying to hold on. Honestly, respect to him for taking that, brutality, because Lord knows I wouldn't. I gotta tell you, this was probably one of the best things I've seen from the Judgment Day in quite some time, because I mainly loved just all of it. I loved Sheamus chasing after Dominic Mysterio. Dominic finally like looking like he's actually gonna escape, and then the OC blocking him. It was a little thing that I loved from Sheamus, which was just him grabbing him and dragging him back like a scolded little child, and then getting him in the ring. And I love this. This was really good. And I think this was definitely something that the fans wanted to see. There was a tease where you thought that Dominic was going to roll up Sheamus and get the win. And let me tell you, Sean, I had a mini panic attack because I'm thinking AJ Styles, Shelton Benjamin, and oh my God, now it's going to be Sheamus. I would have been freaking livid, because I actually think Sheamus is doing the best right now.
Alex Pawlowski over on Fightful Select has Sour Graps, and I gave him that show because I felt like he hated everything no matter what. So if he wants to do that, he can do that there. But I did partake here and there, and we would always have the night that wrestling died. This would have been the newest night that wrestling died if Dominic Mysterio would have pinned Sheamus. I think for us, the most recent one would have been the Austin Theory thing a few weeks ago. Like, we would have overreacted for that one. But, oh, boy. I'm glad this didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm glad, too. Also, what's up with them giving Finn Balor some, like, really funny lines, man? I don't know if they're funny, like, in a way that they're not funny.
Yes.
He was lines. Like, next time you show your ugly mug. It was a terrible line. Well,
and also, like, later on, he called himself the devil. And I'm like, all right, you know, the literal top star on the other show's nickname is the devil. And I get it. It's fairly common. But I should have probably stayed away from that if I was our producer, right?
Like, mainly just because if I'm somebody, if I'm a wrestler and I'm trying to build myself up, I'm definitely not taking not even a little piece, if anything, from the other person on some other show that's literally at the top of the game. Or even if they were on the same show, I would try to make sure.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's something that nobody else is even remotely using.
I have some interesting superhero news regarding somebody involved in... I'll give that as a tip. On Fightful Select soon, I'm going to have...
Come on, Sean. No, give us it now.
No, I need that $5 because look, our super chats are light tonight.
What if
they're
someone's super
real
chats?
Light tonight? They're so light. I'll say this. Somebody involved... between the Brawling Brutes, Judgment Day, OC, I'm going to have some interesting superhero news that almost happened.
A role that someone maybe almost took in a superhero movie or TV show?
Anyway, it would have been a big one too. It would have been a real
okay, can I just
one.
Guess in the meantime?
Sure.
Rhea Ripley.
No, there you go. Oh, God, anyway, OC and Judgment Day brawl backstage. And this carries out into the parking lot later on. I love this. This was started off with an interview where AJ Styles said he used to be close with Finn Balor. And now he's realized who his family is. It's the OC. It's Gallows. It's Anderson. They're back. And Mi-Shin, who they're calling Mia Yim, even though they repeatedly called her Mia Yim over and over again. She wants to own the trademark to her name. That's why that's happening. I was originally told last week they were just going to use Mia Yim and use Mi-Shin as a like a nickname, but they went full on with it. Her profile has changed, but that's neither here nor there. The interview itself inside wasn't much of anything. I love the brawl outside. What I could see of it, at least, Denise, I love them going out in the parking lot. What I didn't love is... the shaky camera that I couldn't see a damn thing. Drives me nuts. Hate it.
I thought it was okay. I liked it. I got excited. I think they cut it too short. I think they should have let it go longer.
I like them taking the show out of the venue here and there. I used to love stuff like that. Like D'Lo Brown and Mark Henry were in a feud and D'Lo Brown went to the strip club Mark Henry was at to go beat him up. I loved it. Booker T and Steve Austin in the supermarket.
Of course, that it's iconic. I wanted to visit that supermarket, by the way, but apparently they tore it down. So that bums me out because that was like a venue that I considered iconic.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Then I remember like, you know, so many times that they used to also do stuff at the freaking, was it the World? In what is the restaurant they used to call
it
again?
Was the World. It was WWF New York. But yeah, yes. They changed it to the World.
I was bummed out when they took that down too because I never got to experience it.
Terry Allen Jr. says, Power Rangers fan Sean will miss Jason. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Rest in peace, Jason David Frank. I mean, had a huge pro wrestling connection because he was working the convention circuit and so many wrestlers work the convention circuit and especially so many wrestlers that are popular now grew up on Power Rangers and Tommy the Power Ranger was like the biggest part of the first season. Like that was the big story arc was him doing what he did and then becoming the White Ranger. You hate to hear that, especially the manner in which we hear that it happened. So sending love to his family, his friends, his fans, that is horribly tragic. And we're sending our love. Johnny Gargano does an interview backstage. He is so full of character and so full of just like energy, Denise, but I'm not necessarily enjoying the booking direction of all this. He says that he's trying to do a favor to Dexter Lumis. He's trying to do right by him. And Dexter Lumis is going to stay out of his business tonight. He'll stay out of Dexter Lumis's business next week. He's supposed to face The Miz tonight, Denise, but The Miz has other plans. And Johnny loses to Omos. Now, he makes Omos look as good as he possibly can. Like, this is not a boo-boo face Johnny Gargano. Omos ain't good, but Johnny Gargano will never let you believe that based on him bumping, him doing everything he can for Omos. This wasn't for me, but I do like to see when great workers like Johnny do this type of thing and try to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
I think Johnny Gargano did an incredible job in this match because to be honest, didn't totally hate it, but I didn't totally hate it for like the wrong reason. So the reasons I totally didn't hate it were one, because I thought Johnny did a great job selling for Amaz and all of that, right? And clearly, you know, he was kind of perfect because Johnny's, you know, like way smaller than Omaz. So there was that huge size difference. It was very, 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 obviously very noticeable. So that was, you know, impressive within itself. But I actually enjoyed this match because I love seeing how like unathletic Omaz is in a way. I don't know how to explain it, but it's the little things. Like there was a moment where he was smashing down Johnny Gargano's head onto the commentary table, but I don't know how to explain this. Sean, when you see some, for example, Bobby Lashley, you know, he's huge, he's buff, right? When he does things that a huge buff guy would do, you buy it, right? I don't buy it with Omaz. Like when he does the rawr and the rawr, I feel like he's trying to be a big guy when he is a big guy, but it's just not coming across as authentic. Then
if he ended up getting like a dancing Kali type of thing or like a ladies man type of thing, I would buy that more from him than the monster. Right,
the monster. There you go. It doesn't seem like that's who he is, even though that's who they're clearly painting him to be. It
seems friendly. He seems really nice.
I've seen him, dude, at the Dallas. When we were doing that scrum thing, I came out and I ended up in the lobby and, you know, dude's taking pictures with the fans and, you know, very humble, very nice person, all of that. But it's just not coming across like something that fits his character. Then the other thing that was really funny was just the way that he falls, because it's the slow motion. Like I think he hit his face on the turnbuckle or something like that. And he just did this very, very slow fall, like it was funny. So I enjoyed it for those reasons, because I like noticing those little things.
Well, I'll tell you what a lot of people noticed, and it ain't cool at all. Cameron says, the worst thing that happened this year was them changing Rebel Heart. They changed Johnny's theme song, but they just had like, I think a new group do it. I just think that this guy had some of the most endearing music in pro wrestling, period. Like, Rebel Heart is something that fans love. And WWE, I don't know what the deal is. I'm trying to find out more and more and more about why they don't want to use CFO's music. I mean, they changed Riddle's dope-ass theme to this, like, meh, whatever. Like, I don't know what structure WWE has that just doesn't allow them to use good music. It's very sad. Orion Ben says, Denise, can you do a better Rebel Heart?
No, I sing terrible.
Let's hear it. Let's see.
No, I'm not going to sing. I'm no like trained seal.
What? A seal? You think you're as good as a seal? I mean, Seal was a fantastic singer.
I'm not talking about Seal the singer, Sean. I'm talking about Seal like a trained seal at the goddamn circus.
You hear the lyrics, Denise. Be yourself. What? Are you going to sing it?
No. I don't know how to sing it.
Can't be no one else. No. Another day. Got to give him hell. It's burning straight through the dark. This rebel heart. This rebel heart.
This rebel heart. This rebel heart. I can't. I can't.
You can't carry a note,
Denise. Why don't you do it? This ain't karaoke night. Shit.
I can carry a note at least, Denise. Damn.
Okay, go. Carry a note. I want to hear it.
I don't want to.
Come on. You're the one who wants Super Chats.
Somebody said, Omos, Kurgan, Kali, worst match of all time. You know, the funny thing is, like, Kurgan is a mega successful actor now. I didn't know if you knew that. Like, he's all over the place. Like, he gets roles all the time. And Kali is obviously set for life. But, man,
I love Kali, okay? I will take no Kali slander, okay? He just has, like, the soul of just a nice person. You could see it in the eyes.
So it's just a bummer, the Rebel Heart song going away, because so many fans like that specific version. I'm just
it always made me feel like I was walking into Hot Topic. Yeah. Now I just feel like I'm walking into an elevator.
I bought another new Doja Cat shirt. No, it was from Spencer's where I got that one. It's a hot topic.
I like Spencer t-shirts. I tend to find some rare ones there.
Really?
Yeah.
Does any place have like a deal with Taylor Swift, or does she just sell straight up?
She just sells on her website. It's
probably smart for her to do.
Yeah.
By the way,
I always look for like rando stuff.
By the way, I saw that Sam Roberts reached out to you for a rundown on the Ticketmaster thing.
Did he talk about it on his show?
He was very condescending about it, Denise. I was almost offended.
I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. There's a video on it. His most recent show. I was almost offended. I was like, listen, I'm not even going to be condescending about this. Like, I used to like to troll the Swifties about Kanye. Ain't doing that shit anymore, first off. But I'm definitely not trolling them over Ticketmaster, because if there's one fan group that's going to overturn Ticketmaster, defund Ticketmaster, it's them. So
no, I didn't see the clip, but I did give them a full rundown as to what went down. I'm talking like paragraphs and information. And he was like, oh, cool.
You know, I wanted
to get a fan's perspective from that. I'm like, okay. And then that was the end of that, because I don't know what I was doing. I was doing something.
Literally anything else. But guys, if you tried to get Taylor Swift tickets last week, you needed a miracle. And we have a miracle for you.
Take it from the dirt sheet boy himself. You don't want dirty sheets on your bed. That's not what we do around here, because we have Miracle. Specifically, trymiracle.com/Fightful. Get 40% off and 3 free towels. You don't want to wake up sweaty and sticky. Maybe you got that heat on during the winter. Well, Miracle brand at trymiracle.com/Fightful has self-cooling properties using silver-infused fabrics originally developed by NASA. They are thermoregulating and designed to keep you at the perfect temperature all night long. And they prevent 99.9% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner, fresher, 3 times longer than other sheets. Help avoid those allergens and all those irritants that you can get when the bacteria builds up on your sheath. It's better for your skin. It's got luxurious comfort and quality. Since I started using Miracle Brand self-cooling brand sheets, I stay comfortable all night long. Go to trymiracle.com/Fightful. Use that code Fightful to get your free three-piece towel set and save 40% off. trymiracle.com/Fightful.
Guys, do us a nice favor. Share this link on social media. The YouTube algorithm isn't bringing us up live for a lot of people. You can also tap that bell. It'll get notifications every time we go live, which is every night now after NXT, AEW, Impact Wrestling, SmackDown Rampage, and Survivor Series this weekend. And of course, we have shows almost every day on Fightful Select as well, including some news on who is set to be the 5th member of the War Games team.
You know the answer already, Sean?
I posted it on Fightful Select, yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Here, I'll type it in the chat.
Yeah, type it in. I missed it. I don't know how I didn't see this.
Don't say it.
Oh, okay. I saw it. Oh,
good
okay.
name, right? It's a good name,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We also had tonight's Raw plans. We had a bunch of news. We've been doing what we call select portions on Fightful Select, where we give you like little news bits as well. As much exclusive content and information as we can give you, we do on FightfulSelect.com. Just $5 a month. Promise you guys it's worth it. Austin Theory cut a hell of a promo. My God, he cut a great promo. Now, I just want to say, with each one of these promos, Denise, you're going to have people say, see, it was a good decision. I completely disagree. I completely disagree. You can make somebody interesting, make somebody have a catalyst for something without booking like crap. You don't need a golden egg. He doesn't need a selfie. He doesn't need a losing streak. He doesn't need to lose a money in the bank to have a catalyst. Now, I do agree that if he would have come up from NXT like this, that it probably wouldn't have been as effective. However, you don't have to have bad booking for like a full year before that catalyst happens, Denise. You can just have him do interesting stuff, but in that character. He could have been an oaf. He could have been a bit of a ditzy guy. I've always said, like, Channing Tatum in 21 Jump Street. Like, that's him. He's like the jock who is capable of really athletic, amazing things. That would have been good for him. But I don't think you needed to do the bad booking to get there.
Of course not. And I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Now they're really... they're trying to save face with Theory because the amount of criticism and backlash that they got for that was embarrassing. It was very embarrassing. And now they're doing everything that they can to, you know, to cover it up. You know, they're putting a Band-Aid over this. And I like what they're doing with Theory. Like, I like it today. I like it. You know, I don't like what they did, you know, with everything, the cash in and all of that. That was a big bust. But I like what they are doing to recover from that. And for me, it's still going to take a little bit more than just one good promo tonight, although it was a good promo. But it's going to take a little bit more because I said this when this whole cash in happened. I need more. The cash in happened. It was so bad that I didn't feel like I could ever take Austin Theory the same ever again. And so today I thought that his interactions, mainly with Bobby Lashley, that back and forth promo that they did, I thought was really the cherry on top of really what they've done since the failed cash in. So I will say this, like the last 2 days, last 2 weeks, it's been okay for Theory. It's been better. But I do think that they're doing it because of how bad they were criticized for the cash-in. And I mean, I'm curious as to what you think, Sean, because I'm kind of on the bow of, I kind of think that he should win at Survivor Series.
I kind of do too. By the way, guys, get in your thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate that. It's funny, Denise. I posted a tweet that was actually about Austin Theory. And this should speak volumes about how WWE's booking is. I said, you don't have to have dog shit stories in booking to create a catalyst in a more entertaining, satisfying character or change. You can do that with good stories in booking. Everybody thought it was about Mustafa Ali.
I thought it was very clear it was about Theory.
Yes,
I saw that tweet
too.
And it was very clear when you said catalyst dog shit booking. I'm like, oh, that's Austin Theory.
Yes. And after this promo, which is yet another banger from Austin Theory, he went out and had another banger of a match with Mustafa Ali, who, you know, I wish would be in a better spot. But at this point, I'm pretty satisfied that he's on television. He looks like $1 million, by the way. That gear looks great. His hair looks great. He is becoming a bit of a meme, though. Like Bobby whooping that ass meme.
Yes. I don't really care for it that much. I get that it gets him on TV, but I remember this whole thing started with him confronting Seth Rollins and us thinking that he was actually going to get something decent out of this. And now I feel like that quickly faded and turned into him kind of being like a little bit of a, maybe, I don't know if joke is too harsh of a word, but I don't know what other word to use, but it kind of feels like he's a little bit of the, it's been used a little bit of a joking manner. Like even with today with Bobby Lashley chasing down Theory and Theory going back there and Ali's back there and he shoves him into Bobby Lashley. And then Bobby Lashley decides to just beat the living shit out of Mustafa Ali because Theory just ran too fast. It's one of those things where I'm like, they're really making Ali look a little bit like a goof.
Well, they had a great match. It was phenomenal. Like they work really, really well together. Do Mustafa Ali and Austin Theory. And you're going to find more and more of these combinations that work really well together because you're not seeing the same people wrestle all the time. And this is like what we were experiencing wasn't an announced like best of seven, like what AEW is doing with the Elite. They would just wrestle seven times just to do it. Now you're starting to see people like Mustafa Ali actually get a chance to show what he can do. I do believe there's something more bubbling underneath the surface for Ali. I think that I don't think this is like a rib on him. I don't think this is a punishment for him. If this were under Vince, I think it absolutely would have been. Because I knew Vince didn't like him.
But remember that tweet that he posted to Braun Strowman when yes. Braun Strowman was making fun
God
of
him? Goddamn, it was hilarious.
It was a great one, but it's still basically, it was a great response from Mustafa Ali, but at the same time, it was also him saying he still wants out of the company.
Sure.
And while maybe the average Joe may have read that as really funny, maybe people, you know, within WWE maybe didn't think it was funny. I don't know. You tell me, Sean.
I'll find out more. I will absolutely find out more.
Because it feels to me like I'm thinking, okay, what would make them kind of treat him like this? That's the only thing I can think of.
I want to address this comment. Miguel, I appreciate your patronage, but you saying Ali is a goof. He was a leader of retribution and hacker. Well, Miguel, you are fucking dumb. And I'm going to tell you to go Google the traffic that Mustafa Ali in Retribution did. When Mustafa Ali was revealed as the leader of Retribution, it did over 4 million views on their YouTube, Denise. If it cracks 1 million, that's pretty damn big.
I think he's talking more about the aftermath of that and the treatment of Retribution being crap.
The hacker stuff was interesting. People were digging it. People were digging it. Retribution. People dug it at first, even though I didn't like when they had the guy waddle towards the screen. People were like, hell, at least it's something. But they had no idea what to do with it. No idea what to do with it.
Retribution was like a roller coaster. It went really high at one point and then dropped very low.
You disappoint me, Miguel. Do better than this, Miguel.
Sean, you're here asking people to send us super chats because this is our light show, and you're also yelling at our viewers.
Yeah, they are light. They're really light right now.
You see what I mean?
Listen,
if
he
would have been nice to Miguel.
He didn't give us any money.
Sent $5.
Listen, you reserve the right to get clowned if you don't give us money.
Oh, this, you know what this feels like now? You know when you go to a comedy show and you sit in the front and the comedian starts picking on you? It's exactly what this feels like.
Well,
a girl from my town
she was the girl who had the beer thrown at her. Did you see that? The comedian that had the beer thrown at her and then she just picked it up and drank it? That's pretty good. Now, Irene says, don't defend Retribution. It was a dead gimmick when it started. Everyone deserved better, especially Ali. Listen, if Triple H had booked that, it would have been a lot better. But what Vince did was Vince got on a call, and on the conference call, people said, when are you going to introduce new talent? What are you going to do about the ratings being down? And they immediately said, Retribution. They had no idea who was going to be in the group, but objectively, that did a lot of social numbers. And I mean, heavy social numbers. Go back and look, like some of the stuff that Retribution did, even though it wasn't for me, even though Vince had no plan for it, it did insane social numbers, which is something that we track. Well, Lashley confronted Theory afterwards, and Theory did not back down. Well, until he cracked Bobby Lashley with a chair and Lashley looked at him. I would have preferred something besides Austin Theory running, because after that promo, after him winning, after him standing up to Bobby Lashley, I really think that would have worked out a lot better if he just kind of backed away slowly.
I liked it. I liked the way that it all turned out. I liked it.
So, I mean, did that hurt Austin Theory at all for you?
More than what they already did? No. They already did the bottom of the bottom of the barrel with Theory. Anything, I think, is better now.
Yeah.
And this sucks too. I hate it too, because I could say, oh yeah, last week they did good, this week they did good, and then there's going to be people that are like, oh yeah, I told you so, and I'll be like, nah, not really, bro. So that does bother me, but what can you do? At least they're trying to reverse it, which is why I think he should actually win at Survivor Series. And I know that may not be a popular opinion, but for the sake of them doing all of this, you might as well just give them the title.
Reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. That gets your question or statement read on the air. And we would greatly appreciate that.
Or else Sean's going to keep yelling at people in the chat.
I mean, I do wish that we had more super chats and humper chats.
You're depressing me, Sean.
I'm depressed. We've got a few, but they haven't been put on the back end. So it's not as light as I thought. MC Scammer says, yep, it's true. I only follow Denise as a pity follower.
Depressing. Now listen, that's our biggest super chats to get. That's the one we get.
That's our biggest super chat of the night as well.
Jesus Christ. I'm here defending the people. You know what? Screw the people. Yell at them, Sean. Yell at them.
Oh, I see that the power is out at Luis's house. So He is unable to collect those super chats and humper chats. So I'll take a look at him. But one LT photo says, I did not like him punking out and running from Bobby. It was starting to work for me back down. I mean, that's the thing. I just wish it would have been a little bit different, just a little bit different, and it would have helped out an awful lot. We've got Justin Rivera saying, hey, Denise, met you at Full Gear. You were really nice. Made it a point to ask me my name, shake my hand. Meant a lot, especially since it was after your crappy fan interaction.
Thank you, yeah. Justin. Thank
Sorry you went through that goofy bullshit, Denise.
You should have seen my grandma's reaction, bro, when I told her.
You should have thrown him down the stairs. Should have thrown him down the stairs. You can throw me over the top rope. You can't throw some drunk guy down the stairs.
Long story short, I'm not even going to go through that again, okay? But, yeah, that was my experience.
Right. Actually, we've got a couple of these I'm going to add to the women's match there. But we end up getting Alpha Academy versus Elias and Matt Riddle. Alpha Academy are killing it. They are killing it in the ring. I like that they weren't going like, oh, the odd couple, how will they ever work out? Corey Graves is like, no, why would we say that? Matt Riddle has made it work with every tag team partner he's ever had, whether it's Thatcher, whether it's Randy Orton. He'll probably make it work with Elias too. And they did. They won the match. I have one qualm with this, Denise. There was that dope-ass Steiner Bulldog. It's the Doomsday Device electric chair into a bulldog. I think that should be a finish forever, always, forever and ever, amen, Randy Travis style. Nobody should kick out of that. That is such a dope-looking move. I would use that as a finish, if at all possible. They've got great chemistry together, and honestly, it feels like every single person that Riddle or Gable get in the ring with, Denise, they have really great chemistry with.
It takes me a second to get used to new teams, so I'm still working on it. I'm the person that needs at least like a month to get used to something, so I'm still not used to it. I don't hate it, but I'm just not used to it. It still feels a little like weird. With that being said, I did like the match, man. I loved there was a portion on the outside that I particularly loved, because when Riddle kicked Otis in the face, Otis just sold it like so freaking well, man. Like that thing looked like it hurt like freaking hell. The floating bro, I think he hit it twice, once outside the ring, once inside the ring, and finally getting it on Gable for the win. Good match, man. I mean, Matt Riddle and Gable, anytime they interact, it's just a beautiful sequence all the time. That's always appreciated. Yeah, it's gonna take me a little bit of a second to get used to Elias and Riddle still, though. It takes me a hot minute.
I think we're gonna need more like outside the ring interaction.
Yeah, like more of the bonding stuff, right? Because it was kind of funny when they were doing the bongo stuff and talking about their band. So they have done a few, but none that really have really grabbed me just yet. And I think maybe that's because, you know, Matt Riddle and Randy Orton, they had such a dynamic that, you know, they were SpongeBob and Squidward. You can't really replicate that anymore. You have to do something totally different.
I would like to see them actively try to bond. Like, I think that Elias should be like, listen, I know we don't look like we should go together, but I've seen how you can succeed with other people, and I want that success, so let's make an effort. I want to see them like going to baseball games or football games. I want to see them having like jam sessions and shit.
Do you think he would have fit more with, instead of Elias, with the Ezekiel version?
Well, he did, because that's why Elias said that he didn't beat up Riddle, is because that Ezekiel liked him so much. So right. I think that actually lends to it, the fact that he's... Also, I'm really hoping that next month we get, or not next month, but at the Rumble, we get Elias and Ezekiel. Like, yeah. I want Elias at the beginning, Ezekiel at the end.
And Elrod.
That would be cool, too. That would be cool, too. But, like, at the beginning, you got to, like, lay out Elias. Like, he's got to be off screen for, like, a month, right? Because he's got to grow his beard back out after this. So he gets laid out by somebody, like really abused by somebody, and it's like vicious. And then later on, Ezekiel comes out for revenge on that person that attacked him. That's what I want. I gotta have it. I hope they do it.
You should do it.
Denise said doo-doo.
Sean, you're like 50 years old. You're laughing at doo-doo. You're literally howling at doo-doo.
Oh, Denise.
You need to get out more.
Denise says doo-doo. Will says he'd pop so hard. Well, that's funny because Denise would poop so hard. Ah, you said
doo-doo. God, Sean. No, this is sad. We're getting so desperate for super chats. You're going back to Denise.
Send us some doo-doo super chats.
Pressy. You see, people, this is where we've gotten to. Although, you know, I've been wanting to ask you because what have you been thinking about commentary? I haven't really been too thrilled with it. I'm sorry.
So,
and it was noticeable today. And I'm trying to remember, do you remember what match it was or who was coming out with? There was like no talking. It was weird.
Okay. So I have found that Corey Graves oftentimes has to take over play-by-play commentary. Like he will oftentimes start calling the moves. And Kevin Patrick will lean more into color. And it's very weird. It's not for me. I'm not liking the combo right now.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just, I think what's missing personally is just really selling what you're seeing on TV. I feel like you can tell when, I can tell when they're not as interested in the match, you know?
Yeah. Ryan Ben says, Sean's perfect strangers, Elias and Riddle. That'd be cool. I mean, again, you're talking about a real high bar to clear because of RK-Bro. Ulysses Rodriguez, this is $8 American, by the way, guys. Don't act like we're rich here. So sending love for Costa Rica. I was watching you guys way more than I like watching Raw. Think the honeymoon is over for Triple H? Can we blame it on Road Dogg? We can't blame it on Road Dogg. I do think the honeymoon is over for Triple H, but a good War Games pay-per-view, Denise, could extend that a little bit. And when you look at what Triple H is dealing with and what he doesn't have, Denise, I mean, he's not exactly working with a full deck of cards here. He has not had Becky at all. He has not had Charlotte at all. Naomi and Sasha at all. That's just in the women's division. Hasn't even had Carmella either. And then on the men's side of things, he hasn't had Big E, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton. And then he lost Ciampa almost immediately. So he has not been dealing with like a full deck of cards here. And perhaps most importantly, Denise, he hasn't booked Shanky yet.
Bro, I forgot Shanky existed.
Exactly. So did they. But I mean, those are...
That's, I forgot, like, about Shanky.
We're talking like 7-8 top people that have not been on the show.
I'm going to start rioting if we don't get Shanky. But by the way, that honeymoon period really flew by.
It sure did.
When do you think it ended?
The theory thing for sure. McIntyre shows up backstage and talks some trash to Corbin. Corbin talks some trash to him. Punches Corbin in the face. And what I love is like he punches Corbin and then he's just gone. Did he punch him and just sprint out of the locker room? Either way, I like that JBL is like, here's what helped me find myself. I sat back here and I played cards with my friend. It will work for you too. I trust you. Just trust me. So we get the match. It's a good match. It's just like one of those where I'm like, did I need it?
Not really. Like we've seen it a bunch. Haven't we on SmackDown?
We have, and we saw it at WrestleMania, and that's how they built it.
No wonder.
I just knew it was big there. Because, I mean, that was the first time that anybody kicked out of the End of Days, and that's a big deal. Like, Baron Corbin had done an incredible job protecting that. But, we had seen this quite a bit. They did WrestleMania. They did the handicap match on Raw before that. They had, like, six-man tags, but they have faced each other, like quite a bit.
That explains it, because this is a huge step up from, you know, Corbin and Tozawa. Yeah, you know, obviously Drew McIntyre is a bigger star, but it just feels so meaningless because you're like, well, where are we going? What are we doing? And also, I've seen this and I know I've seen this, so I struggled with this one.
Now, in a one-on-one perspective, like we saw it was three times in 2020. We saw it in March of 2021. We saw
Thunderdome era, which added to it in terms of making it a little bit less hard.
Exactly.
A little bit harder to watch.
But in the last 2.5 years, we've seen the specific one-on-one match seven times now. And I don't know if I needed that. And that's in addition to a handicap match, to six-man tag matches, to remember when Drew was teaming with, it was a year ago this week, Denise, when Drew teamed with Jeff Hardy before Jeff Hardy got the boot.
Yeah.
That was the start of that feud. So I just didn't like that feud.
No wonder. I had flashbacks and I was like, oh, I'm out.
But I thought they had a good match. They had a good match. Denise, what are you getting into this weekend? Are you going anywhere?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to Canada for vacation.
Who cares? Are you really? Wait, Canada, where to?
I'm not telling you. You said who cares?
Who cares? Because when you do go to Canada, you'll be able to watch all your favorite shows thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can get 4 additional months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. It works on all your devices, phone, laptop, desktop, PC. I'm traveling to Charlotte, then Winston-Salem, then back to Lexington. Denise is going from LA to Canada. And no matter where you are, you can watch all your content. You can stay safe and secure on that unsecured Wi-Fi at the airport, at the hotel, at the venue with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If maybe you want to watch the Survivor Series this weekend, but you missed that old WWE Network interface, you can get it back. Subscribe to the WWE Network via Canada through NordVPN.com/Fightful. You're good to go. Maybe you want to watch AEW this Wednesday without commercials. Use that VPN. Get AEW Plus. You're good to go. 2 weeks ago, I bought that UFC pay-per-view at a much more reduced price because I got it from an overseas service. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. The fastest VPN in the world. NordVPN.com/Fightful. The reason I love this sponsor so much, it is truly one that everybody can use. Everybody wants to block pop-up ads and malware and all that. Everybody wants to save money. It's good stuff. NordVPN.com/Fightful. We have the Women's War Games promo. They're going to reveal the fifth member of Team Bianca on Friday. Or you can go to Fightful Select right now. And Nerd Guru says, pushing that person returning as a fifth member this Friday is stupid. The women's match is like the Raw side of War Games, so why didn't they just pull the trigger? So, we aren't going to say who it is. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, and we don't want to spoil it for people that don't want to be spoiled. I feel like pushing it to Friday, Denise, pun intended, says we are punting against Monday Night Football. Not only that, not even a good Monday Night Football game. 6-5 team against a 5-6 team, or whatever the hell it was, 4-5, 5-4, wasn't even a good one. I hate when they're like, eh, it's Monday. Because that just conditions me to not, like, feel like I don't have to watch the show. It conditions people to feel like they don't need to watch the show. Makes our numbers lower as well. That sucks, but whatever.
Well, I'm excited for the Women's War Games.
I'm excited for the match. I think they should have revealed it tonight. I think so too,
because I just think that it keeps people, you know, I don't know. I just think they should have definitely announced it tonight for sure.
Right.
And I mean,
Ry Gillian says, I heard super chats were light. Figured I'd drop in for a little shoutski. Sasha needs to be the fifth woman in War Games. But I imagine it's Becky. Wild thought. Sasha comes back. I'd love to see her return as Mercedes. Love you guys. Bye. If Sasha comes back, she's coming back as Sasha. They put too much stock into that name, Denise.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course.
Well, we got the match. Asuka, Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley wins fairly clean with the Riptide to gain the advantage. Huge brawl breaks out afterwards. Asuka and Rhea Ripley work really well together. Rhea Ripley is a top flight main event level talent. We've known that about Asuka for years and years and years. She was always pushed as such. But I think that Rhea is ascending. I think Rhea is about to be put on that level because look at the horsewoman situation where they would always rely on them. Sasha's gone. Charlotte hasn't been around. Becky just got hurt, and this is after she had been back for a year, after being gone for a year and a half. Bayley had to miss over a year. And for a while, it felt like the women's division, like, man, it really could have used some other people that had been established. Fortunately, Bianca was there to help put it on her back. They helped add Liv Morgan. They're still doing a little something with her. Rhea Ripley's got to keep ascending, keep ascending. Like, she is very much a top player. Asuka's going to be a top player in and out as she can be, but I think she's probably had her best runs as far as they're booked. That being said, Triple H booked her to have a huge undefeated streak for years. So, but how are you feeling about this? I love that they finished it with Asuka taking everybody out. Even after she lost, she got her heat back a little bit. You had Mishin and Rhea Ripley brawling out, so they promoted their thing. I thought this was an effective segment. It just would have been a lot more effective if that fifth member would have came out at the end.
For sure. Now, I remember if you go all the way back to when we first started seeing Asuka and Rhea Ripley, it wasn't the best of days. They didn't have like the greatest chemistry in the beginning, or even the second time. I think it took them quite a bit to even get chemistry together, which was shocking because I remember when they first announced Asuka Rhea, everybody was like, holy shit, this is going to be like freaking crazy. And it really did not end up being that way. But I would say that I think that Rhea Ripley has just grown so much in terms of her confidence, in terms of you're really starting to see that she is becoming a new type of star. She was already going to be a star. You already knew it. But now she's coming into like another level in terms of we've been seeing her just so much, you know, and she's been featured. She's been consistent all the time. Remember when she was champion and we were getting those really weird promos where she was just like talking like this and we were all like, what's going on with Rhea? And this finally, she feels so much more natural and it just goes in line with everything that she's been doing in ring. Because in ring, she's always been, you know, to the teeth and, you know, great. I've always loved Rhea in ring. And so with that being said, I loved Asuka and Rhea tonight, mainly because I think that Rhea really just, you know, with her presence and her character and the heel work that she was doing, to me, just really worked in this match here. And I was very happy that Rhea got the win. To me, it just makes more sense to go about it that way. The brawl afterwards, I think, was definitely needed just to give a little bit more hype for the women. But regardless, I was expecting to find out the fifth and final person for it, because when you have the brawl, I thought, okay, it's very easy to have the person run in and make their big grand entrance in that manner. So the way that they did, the reason it keeps me wondering, like, how they're actually going to, you know, make it feel a little extra special when it does happen on SmackDown.
Wrapping up our super chats. Get them in, guys. We are about done. Matt Reichel says, so who has more followers on Hive? Sean or Denise? Money
I don't
is
have
on
an
Sean.
Account.
There you go. Money is
I'm
on
not
Sean.
Like mob mentality.
Let me read his super chat so I can pay you, Denise. Money is on Sean, who reported the fifth for Bianca's team. Follow me on Hive at Sean Ross at. Follow us on Instagram at Fightful Online. We are at Fightful.com on TikTok, I think. We have a lot of cool clips. We have all this stuff is in my link tree on my Twitter. So there you go. Kylie says, I know this is about Raw, but the shit in Colorado and JDF's death. Hug your friends. Tell them you love them. Well, we love all of you guys. I am so excited. By the way, Rank Chaos, please tell me what the super chat is. If you say we missed your super chat, it helps us to tell us what it is. Our moderator kind of slid out for a little bit. His power was out. Let me know what it is. We'll read it right now. But hope I get to meet all of you in Winston-Salem this weekend. I'm going to go back here, try to find these super chats. But Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
All right. You can find me on YouTube because I'm almost at 80K. Please, if you wanted to watch all of the media scrums, if you want to watch them separately, pretty good audio, good video, all of that, check it out, especially my MJF video. I feel like it's become like the official one because, you know, and you could hear everything in it. So go check it out. That one was trending yesterday on YouTube. But if you do want to go and watch, and I know the Jamie Hayter one's doing really well too, you can check that one out too. But if you want to watch the Scrum videos, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo, plus a bunch of other types of content that you can check out there. And follow me on Twitter just so one day I can beat Sean.
I hope so. How do you pronounce this?
Grupo Firme on MNF. Took the Hispanic demo from Raw. Haven't seen Grupo Firme. I don't know what that is.
Well, they were on, it was Monday Night Football tonight. Pinto was at the game.
I saw. That's very some cool. good stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah. KE775 says, think we're heading to Rhea Bianca post Survivor Series. Yes, I do. But I mean, I think we're gonna get the Mishin thing as well. Like, I think we're headed towards that. I believe we had another super chat around here, but hey guys, Survivor Series this weekend. Denise will be here. Will Washington will be filling in for me because I will be at Winston-Salem. I believe we had a super chat from about Seth Rollins that Luis is getting, but this Wednesday, I'll be bringing you guys, what do you guys want to talk about? It's a preview of our Q&A show at a special time of noon. Then I'm heading out of town for 4 or 5 days. Fightful Select on Tuesday, doing a very special Backstage Report Q&A podcast. And that one will be a lot of fun. Flame Ink says, do we enjoy wrestling good or bad just because it's fresh? Not a fan or of WWE or AEW, as I find both boring. I mean, I just love the form of entertainment, Denise. Like, I just love pro wrestling, like, period. Like, whether or not
it's fresh. Sometimes, because WWE and AEW are so popular, you forget that there are fans that actually don't watch neither products. Like, I have a bunch of friends that don't watch WWE or AEW. Like, they watch, you know, other stuff, whether it be Lucha, whether it be, you know, All Japan, Noah, like all this other stuff, DDT, you know, all these other promotions. So, like, I think sometimes, you know, I feel like sometimes those viewers may feel a little bit in the minority, especially if you're not watching WWE, AEW, because that's like the most talked about thing. But yeah, I like that though, because I love, you know, seeing what, you know, people like to watch.
Scotty Bosock says, is it the algorithm or is it something more glitchy going on my home screen? It says you're live with the red dot. Then you click on it and it's promoting the Rohit Raju video as live. Well, that one
actually that happened the other day, Sean.
Yeah,
that happened to me when I saw that Fightful was live and I clicked on it and it started saying all of your past streams were live because I was trying to tune in to Will's show and it kept taking me to like every show was coming out as live. But I think that was a YouTube glitch, clearly.
Oh, yeah. YouTube has been glitching on us hard lately. It's been messing with our subscriptions, been messing with our live stuff. We are in, like, we have different tabs now, which some people prefer. But,
I do. I think it helps a lot because it looks really messy when they had everything together.
Well, with us, when you have like 3 or 4 regular videos, but then like 5 live streams, it doesn't necessarily benefit us.
Yours should be all live. Yours should be the live tab, should be the hot tab because most of the shows are live.
And it doesn't do that. It never does that. Like, we got humped and not in a good way by that. William Rabb says, with the Cody dig, is Seth still a heel? Yes, technically he is a heel. And DNC Digital says, just want to say it's been a tough year for me and Fightful post shows helped me escape some stuff. Big fan of you guys. Hope to work for Fightful one day. Anything is possible, my friend, and I hope things get better for you. Guys, thank you all so much. Again, I've always mentioned this, October, November, December, they're usually slow months in pro wrestling. But we're still going to have a ton of good content for you guys. I just booked my stuff for the Rumble. Me and Denise are already plotting our Rumble post-show live. By the looks of it, we might have to do a damn press conference afterwards, though. You never know. But Joe says, just dropping by to say thanks, guys. Keep it up. We will keep it up. And we appreciate you guys. Thank you to I Am a Sizzy 05 as we go off the air. Thank you all so much. We're out.